And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket.
Dave, isn't it true that there's no Kings rally on Sunday? Even though people seem to think there is a no Kings rally on Sunday?
That is true. There is no Kings rally. I don't know where the rumor started, but there was nothing really circulated about that.
There's actually a concert. There's a concert in Town Hall in New York City. And then there are watch parties so that you can watch the concert. And the concert features Bette Midler and people like that.
Yeah.
But I wonder, what's the point of it?
That's a good question. I mean, the only good is it gets people together. But it's just entertainment, and you've got all these celebrities who are going to make some dumb political statements and that are out of touch with a lot of the mainstream of America.
Even if they're in touch, the whole point of politics is to get people involved in activity, to get people moving, to get people educated, to get people talking to their neighbors, to get them to realize what their real needs are so that they should want what they need and fight for it. Going to a concert is a nice thing, but it doesn't do that. It's not designed to do that. It's not a criticism of a concert. A concert is not designed to do that. So, in general, what's the point of many of these No Kings demonstrations? How many can you have without anything else before it becomes negative?
Yeah, that's you've got to have something new every time.
But if you take a look and see what these No Kings demonstrations are about, there, if you look at the website in which they're all listed, all the various demonstrations are listed this week. There's 11,000 some odd demonstrations listed on the mobilize.org website, which is where Indivisible, puts up notices of all the things that it sponsors and is boosting. And of those 11,000 activities, something like 5,000 have to do with combating authoritarianism and standing up for democracy. And less than 1,000 have to do with healthcare or affordability or, God forbid, opposing the war in Iran. There used to be a very vigorous anti-war movement in this country. I haven't heard of a single anti-war demonstration since the war in Iran began. And the whole
the biggest,
go ahead.
I was going to say, the biggest opposition seems to be coming from Republicans in Congress.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. The fascists fighting
Iran pause.
Yeah.
Grand pause.
Yeah. And why is that? Why is that? Where is the mainstream of the Democratic Party? What are they doing? What do they think they should be doing? I mean, you meet with these people all the time.
Yeah. Their uniting factor is just their enmity towards Donald Trump.
Okay, I hate Donald Trump. A lot of people hate Donald Trump. So what?
It's not a great organizing principle.
No,
no. Yeah, and it's getting back to that Jamal Bowie op-ed of a couple weeks ago. That you have to set out a set of principles, a vision of the country, and then fill it in with policies,
right,
instead of proposing a bunch of disjointed policies.
That's exactly right. Roosevelt, not Teddy, Franklin, had it exactly right when in his first term he said, we're going to do this and that and the other, and if they don't work, we'll do something else, but we'll keep trying until something works.
Right.
But the point was, everybody knew what he was getting at. He wanted to overcome the Depression. And the particular policies, if they would work, fantastic. If they wouldn't work, junk them and get something that will work to get rid of the depression, to get people back on their feet. Now, all the Democrats do is talk about this, that, or the other, as if that's what matters. No, that's not what matters. What matters is living a decent life in a country that we can't afford to live in, that we're dying because we can't pay for health care. A third of the people on Obamacare in Pennsylvania has lost their insurance. A third have lost their insurance in the last 6 months because the Republicans ended the subsidies. Who's talking about that? What Democrat is talking about that?
Yeah. And people don't. I mean, there's an ad on TV about that. But that's, I don't even think it's sponsored by the Democrats.
No.
The thing is, people also want you to fight for them. It's not just put a bunch of things out there and say, see, this is what it is, you know, vote for us. What they want is they want people who are going to really, really, you know, make it seem like they're working for them every day and trying things,
That's
even
right.
in the face of opposition.
And even if they don't win.
No.
They want fighters. They want people who fight. That's right. Even if they're reprehensible in some respect. Look at this guy, Platner.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about Platner other than what I read in the press, none of which is favorable to him. But apparently, he mobilized lots of people. He went all over the state to huge meetings, not little meetings, huge.
You know.
They threw everything at him, and he admitted it. He said, yeah, I did all that. That's wrong. I was wrong. But that's not really the point. And he's right. That isn't the point.
I saw his victory speech. You know, there was a question is, with all these things, what kind of percentage would he get? And he got over 70% of the vote.
Yeah, exactly.
And he got out there, and he didn't stand on the laurels. He attacked.
Right.
He went after things. He went after Susan Collins on the Kavanaugh mission, but the Kavanaugh vote. And you just mentioned something about meeting people. He said, you know, Susan Collins hasn't had a town hall meeting in decades. He said, I've had 83 of them so far this year.
Right.
You know, that's...
That's exactly
that goes,
right.
You know, yeah. That goes all the way. I'm not afraid to meet people. I want to hear them. I want them to hear me.
Yeah. I mean, everybody meets people in the course of his life or her life. And your ideas and how you look at the world is very much influenced by the people you spend your time with and the people you see and talk to and the ideas that are given to you. Whether you agree with them, you don't agree with them, you debate them, whatever, but they're giving you're encountering them. So if Platner is going around and he's meeting people, there's a better chance that Platner will be a decent representative for working people than there is that Susan Collins will ever be an honest legislator. She'll always be a maneuverer. She'll always be a person interested only in getting reelected and in doing whatever she needs to do to make think that she's an independent, she's you know, a critical,
you know, remember my comment about her, she's a moderate of convenience.
Exactly. Right. You're right.
You know, right. Otherwise she enables.
Yeah. What's her voting record pro Trump? It's in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
But what if we're only 75%?
Still. But that was another thing that Platner talked about. She votes 93% of the time with Donald Trump, or 90-some percent of the time.
Yeah.
Now, in contrast, we had what's happened in California. And, you know, the Democrats for governor and mayor of Los Angeles seem to be winning. You know, they have the shotgun primary in kind of in spite of themselves. Steve Hilton, the Republican endorsed, came in second, but he's going to come in at a distant second now in the general election. But in the L.A. mayor, it was interesting that there was a guy running who kind of sounded like a leftist Mondami type on the Republican side. He came in third. He came in third, but the second place was a very progressive Democrat rather than an established Democrat. And we're going to see what happens in that race. Karen Bass has some terrible baggage regarding the fires, the Palisades fires of a couple of years ago. Now the Republicans are trying to make this into the vote was rigged because Pratt didn't win. But Republicans in L.A., the registration is like 17%, and he got 25% of the vote. So he did better than the registration. That's not rigging it. That's not rigging it. But Steve Hilton, if he doesn't win, they're practicing for Donald Trump to call another rigged election if the Republicans lose the Senate.
Well, you know, Hilton is Hilton's an interesting guy. Hilton was one of the chief advisors. Hilton is an English guy.
Yeah,
he only lived in this country about 7 years. Yeah. He became a citizen 5 years ago, and he was David Cameron, the Prime Minister of England, chief advisor on Brexit.
I was going to say
he was a big, leave the common market guy. Brexit, which is universally, except for the ultra right, considered a complete disaster for the British people and the British economy, he's responsible for it more than anybody. And now he wants to be the governor of the state. What does he know about the state? Second of all, what policy could he possibly have that could convince anyone that his crackpot notions, which he expressed by supporting Brexit, trumping for Brexit, he wouldn't want to impose on California?
California has got to be another example, though, of the Democrats winning in spite of themselves.
Exactly. Exactly.
They're on autopilot rather than coming up with things.
Yeah.
Fareed Zakaria had a very detailed article in the Washington Post this week about how California's failing, that they can't get anything done there. That's the rap on Gavin Newsom. If the Democrats try to nominate Gavin Newsom, the Republicans are going to have a field day. That it takes years to accomplish anything, but housing, that they barely have any new housing. People are leaving the state because they can't get affordable housing. Their birth rate, they're below replacement. They were relying on immigration to grow, and now they're not because there's no immigration going on. It's getting to be a textbook example of what you should or shouldn't do once you get elected. You have to produce. You have to produce.
Well, I'm not sure that Bacara is a man who is going to produce.
Yeah.
He's got nothing. I mean, he may be a nice man, but he's got nothing in his background that shows that he's a driving leader.
Yeah. And, you just don't know what that legislature, although the legislature has term limits. There's no Willie Brown in charge of the legislature now.
Well, what about South Carolina? That was another state that had an election last week.
Yeah. Nancy Mace went down to...
She ended up fifth.
Fifth out of five. Yeah. She had like 11% of the vote.
Yeah.
Well, she had 11% of the vote. And,
but the one who won the election is horrible.
Well,
horrible.
They'll learn. But meanwhile, South Carolina is one of the fastest growing states in the union. And that's something the Democrats have to watch out for, because the states that are growing are red states come after 2030 with the Electoral College. It's going to be tougher and tougher for the Democrats because the red states are going to pick up more votes and the blue states are going to lose. Pennsylvania's going to lose another congressman.
Well, is there, to your knowledge, is there any Democratic Party organization, state or county, in the country that seems to be up to the job, that seems to give leadership, that seems to learn the lessons of the elections that have gone on in the last year or two, or the lessons of the Trump era? I can't see it.
I'm not sure if there is any. There's some individuals that seem to be doing well. John Ossoff down in Georgia, who everybody thought would be vulnerable, he's running a great campaign because he's speaking to the issues of the people.
Right.
But up here in Pennsylvania, you and I saw this last weekend.
That was awful.
A pathetic example.
Yes.
The state Democrats were opening up an office. They picked the same office as where Kamala Harris had hers. It wasn't a winning office, first of all, location-wise.
And they had no sign up that said Democrats. There was no sign.
Yeah. They.
It was completely an anonymous building.
Yeah. And they had a miserable turnout. You and I were there for a period of time. Our wives were there. And if you took the four of us away, to use a term of art, they wouldn't have had a minion.
They wouldn't have had a minion. Not a single elected official showed up.
Right. I was just going to say that. They only had yard signs for Shapiro Davis. They didn't have it for any other offices or anything else. They didn't even have any. They didn't have any signs that had slogans on them.
No.
You know?
No. There was no policy. And there was nothing. There was no printed material that said Democrats fight for the following.
Right.
Nothing.
And the lady in charge was nice enough, but she didn't know a heck of a lot about the area either.
No. And the other fellow, there's two people who staff the office. The other guy told me that the Lackawanna County Democrats, which has their own office someplace else, refuses to talk to these two people from the state party. They refuse to coordinate with them. They refuse to meet with them. How about that?
Right. Now, this weekend, Paige Cognetti is opening up her office. So now you've got...
We have three offices.
You have three offices. talk about a lack of coordination. And, of course, there's going to be some turnover in the Lackawanna County chairmanship. We don't know which way that's going to go yet. Again, it's just different personalities. Marty Flynn runs on his own name, and you've got the four state reps who work their tail off, in serving their constituents. Beyond that, there's no, we're not seeing any great registration drives or anything like that.
There's definitely no enthusiasm.
No. Again, the animating thing seems to be the anti-Trump.
That's right. The anti-Trump.
Although he's been doing a pretty good job of losing public support, except for the MAGA base.
But the point is that you can stop supporting him, and that doesn't mean you're going to support somebody else. You can just drop out.
Well, that's it. The people are leaving the Republican Party, but they're not joining the Democrats.
No.
They're becoming independents, and that means they swing back and forth. They're looking for something that nobody is providing.
That's exactly
Donald Trump provided something to a certain group of people, and but those were negative things. Those were, you know, blaming immigrants for all their problems.
Yeah, he offers racism as the solution. Racism explains everything. And, you know, if we could go back to Jim Crow days, we'd have a wonderful country. That's really what he argues. You know what I mean? That's what it all boils down to. Some people bought that, and now they regret, some of those people regret that they bought it. But where are they going to go? Where are they going to go? They're only going to, what did they buy? They were spoken to by the Trump people. They were taken seriously as working people. And their problems as working people were taken seriously. And Trump said, it's these bad immigrants. It's these colored people, colored yellow, colored red, colored brown, colored anything but white. That's the problem. We're going to get rid of all of them. Everything will be good. So that doesn't work. But what did work was he took seriously their problems as workers. That's why it's not a surprise that many of them would look at the left, look at Sanders and the Sanders-inspired candidates like Mondani, who also take workers seriously as workers, and say to them, no, it's not racism that is going to solve your problem. It's not immigrants that are causing your problem. It's the structure of capitalism. It's the greed of capitalists, of businessmen. And they have to be regulated. They have to be tamed. They have to be controlled. And you may not like that answer, but that's an answer to people's problems as workers, as working people. The same thing that made them attractive, attracted them to Trump, attracts them to Bernie. But the Democrats won't speak like that. They don't see working people as a special, as a separate group, or as an important group. They see the country as made up of poor people, middle-class people, and rich people. Well, the country isn't made up of that. There are rich people and poor people and middle-class people. But that is not what determines the way you look at life or how you lead your life, really. And it doesn't explain how you get to be in either of those, any of those groups, or what possibilities there are for mobility between those groups. But the main line of the Democratic Party doesn't agree with that, won't tolerate that kind of talk, and won't adopt policies that are based on that, which is why they lost to Trump. And why, when they try to do the same thing that they did before, they'll lose again to Trump or the Trumpists.
Yep. And now you have the additional anxiety of AI.
Yes.
And people are hearing and seeing about layoffs. Meanwhile, the Trump policies, the billionaires are, you know, they've, despite what Trump talked to the workers about, he was able to suck in the capitalists, the uber capitalists.
Yeah, but to them, he didn't lie. He said to them, you give me $1 billion for me to play with, I'll give you what you want. They gave him the billion, and he gave them what they wanted.
Yeah.
And he's giving them more of what they want.
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna take away all guardrails. I'm gonna, reward you if you reward me.
Yeah.
And we're not gonna prosecute anybody. Matter of fact, I'm gonna grant pardons to people if they get caught.
There's like a menu. For $500,000, you get pardoned up to this level. Beyond that, it's $1 million. If it's really big, it needs $2 or $3 million. So they pony up with it and they get the pardon.
I was once a
construction superintendent in New York City. And a construction superintendent in New York City goes from job to job to make sure that the job, his company is getting what it needs in terms of material supplies being delivered. And in New York, there's something called sidewalk regulation. You can't cross the sidewalk without a permit. And there are inspectors, building inspectors, that regulate that rule, and there's other rules like that. And it was a standard item that when you started a new building job, you'd meet with the guy who was the inspector for that district. And some of these guys would hand you a business card. And on the back was a list of fees that you could pay them. And you would get this permit, that permit, or the other permit. And if you didn't pay them in cash that day, you didn't get the permit. And you didn't get your supplies over the sidewalk. Or you couldn't build your scaffold. Or you couldn't use the hoist or whatever. That's Trump.
Yeah. And meanwhile, he keeps, well, the other thing that he's done is he's gotten his followers to capture the media that sends messages out to people. I mean, he always had Fox. And now we saw what happened with 60 Minutes, that if they put something out that has some criticism of Trump, you're going to lose the correspondence.
And on Friday, the government, the Department of Justice, approved the merger, approved the Ellisons taking over Paramount, and that whole Penelope, which means now most of the TV and internet news services are controlled by MAGA.
Yeah, the right. I mean, the Washington Post under Bezos.
Right.
The CBS now, CNN.
Right.
They're going to have. And it's...
X, former Twitter.
X on Twitter.
Yeah.
All of these things. And the other thing that they're going after is we mentioned the criticism of the voting in California, the mail-in ballots that Trump keeps going after. He's got an executive order that says unless the states turn over their information to the federal government, in other words, federalized elections, the post office will not deliver mail-in ballots in those states. Now, I don't know how you really get away with that, but
he'll find a way. You'll certainly try.
Yeah. Yes. So I mean, that's a big chunk out of any way to defeat this.
That's right. That's right. It's not an easy task that we have ahead of us.
It's a multi-front struggle.
Yeah, that's right. The Democratic leadership, the main line, the mainstream of them, they're not
up to the task.
They're not up to the task. No. No. All right. We'll see what happens next week. We're done with this week.
Yeah. Oh, well, we have the president's birthday party.
Oh, what a wonderful thing.
And we have that MMA match.
Oh, yes. To celebrate it.
Yeah, that's...
My mother wanted me to be a violinist. She never knew that I should have been a MMA fighter. Anyway.
Whatever. But at least you can't, you know, you won't be able to play your violin at the Trump Kennedy Performance Center.
No, I won't be able to do that because there won't be a Trump Kennedy Performance Center. The name is supposed to have come down this Friday, right?
Yeah, this weekend. So we'll see how long those things last.
I thought you were going to say that I was going to fiddle while Washington burned, but I see you held yourself back.
Well. Susquehanna County birth. So we'll see.
See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.